with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Barbara Sullivan. In past programs, we have explored various subjects that deal with the broad topic of accessibility. We have spoken to experts on closed caption technology, audio describing, tactile street signage, the Access All Areas Film Festival, and the wonderful Seeability Garden at the London Chelsea Flower Show. All these initiatives are designed to help people with disabilities engage in the types of social and workplace activities that are so easy for people without disabilities. The Australian Bureau of Statistics estimated, in its 2012 survey of disability, ageing and carers, that 4.2 million Australians, or 18.5% of the population, have a disability. Given the prevalence of disability across Australia, then, the importance of planning, design and infrastructure to cater to this sizeable chunk of the population cannot be disputed. And also, there is growing awareness among Australians that it is a basic right of people with disabilities to be free to move around at will and to engage in their chosen social, sporting and work interests just as the rest of the population does. Consequently, there is a great requirement for professionals called access consultants, accredited experts who are knowledgeable about everything from building codes and technology to the specific needs of a wide range of disabilities. We invited one such expert into the 2RPH studio to tell us about the world of access consultancy.
Welcome to AbleQuest. I'm Nikki Lindemann. With me in the studio today is someone very exciting, someone that our listeners are probably familiar with, Jane Bryce. Welcome, Jane.
Thank you, Nikki.
Jane has begun a new venture in her life. Visionary Access Consulting is her company. And we're here today not to talk about the company, but we're here to find out a little bit more about what access actually means in the built environment and so forth. I should also mention that Jane is a member of the 2RPH Board of Directors, and we're very happy to have her. Welcome, Jane. Tell us first a little bit about your background, how you came to be interested in access.
Well, Nikki, I began work a few years ago, and a part of my role as an orientation and mobility instructor for guide dogs was to not only teach the clients how to be able to get around and be independent, but also to make sure that the environment that they were needing to move through was safe and easy for them to do. So that's paralleled my career, is teaching clients but also advocating on behalf of people who are blind or vision impaired for things like safe road crossings and clear footpaths.
That's a wonderful thing to do, and I think probably extremely necessary, because I wonder how much people really understand about access and access consulting as such. Give us a little bit of background about why people need access consultants and how it works, and a bit of a definition.
Right. Well, access consultancy is probably a relatively new term. We've had the Disability Discrimination Act in Australia for 22 years now, so 1992 it was launched. And as a part of that, we became a lot more aware of the needs of people with disabilities, whether that's somebody who's blind or has a mobility difficulty or hearing impairment, cognitive or intellectual impairment. So everybody now has the same rights for equal treatment, whether that's in the workplace, in the built environment, access to public transport. So as years have gone by with the Disability Discrimination Act, the people that were having to apply that to their profession were like, well, if I'm a builder, what does that mean? How do I know whether I'm providing the right access for somebody? So we've ended up with a number of disability standards. So we've got the disability standard access to premises, transport standard, and there's also an education standard. Now, they then reference Australian standards, which provide even more detail about how to do things. So the DDA says you are not allowed to treat somebody any differently if they've got a disability. The disability standards say, because you can't do that, here's some ways to avoid getting in trouble. And then the Australian standards say, if you're going to do it, here's the right way to provide this sort of thing. So Access Consultancy has grown out of that framework to enable people, whether they're a builder, a manager of a service, or really anybody, to be able to get advice so that they are not going to be discriminating against anybody with a disability.
And to make people's lives easier, those people living with a disability.
Absolutely. A non-discriminatory environment is somewhere where a person can move around well, is treated well as well. We've got the National Disability Insurance Scheme, or Disability Care Australia, coming in, being phased in around Australia at the moment. And a part of that goal of the NDIS is that we have more people able to be included and participating in their communities. So whether they can be employed or whether that's just social inclusion, definitely transport, being able to get to where they want to go. But I think one of the things that's a little bit hidden in that is that when a person goes into a shop or a business or something, that they are treated with the dignity and equity that we as normal customers would expect.
And it also helps, I'm sure, to raise awareness amongst the general community who perhaps wouldn't have had much contact with people with disabilities, and enable them to become more aware and therefore perhaps adjust their behaviours a little more.
Yeah. Well, Nikki, we've had people with disabilities around in society for years and years and years,
yeah.
You know, 100 years, whatever, back ago. People would have just stayed at home.
Yes.
But about 40 years ago, we started saying, no, we should be allowing these children to be schooled in their local school. And now they're in the workforce. So we've had this change of attitude and acceptance, so that, you know, a lot of kids that would have gone to school with somebody with a disability, but people who are a bit older may not have had that same exposure. So an access consultant could help with making sure that a business premises is accessible, so no step at the front door, the aisle widths around, what, you know, if it's a shop or something, are sufficiently wide for someone with a wheelchair to be able to manoeuvre. But an access consultant might also run some awareness training for the staff, so that when somebody with a disability comes in, they're not fazed and like, oh my gosh, they're in a wheelchair, I'm going to panic, what do I do? They are just, hello, do you need help? How may I help you? People being aware that a person with a guide dog can go basically anywhere that you and I as a member of the public can go. Obviously, sorry, with my background working for guide dogs, there are a couple of places where a guide dog can't go, but really in the scheme of things, they can go just about anywhere.
And presumably that goes for assistance dogs and hearing dogs and all that too.
Absolutely. They are a part of that Disability Discrimination Act, the DDA, that says a person with their mobility aid should be able to go anywhere. So assistance dogs, or assistance animals, not that we actually have anything that's not an assistance animal too much in the public domain. But
not in Australia, but I understand they do have little horses in the States. Is that?
And they have little monkeys as well for people with physical disabilities. Goodness. In the States.
Whatever next? So let's go on now to exploring perhaps a definition of what accessibility actually means in the built environment. What do those dots on the road that we see mean? What do the rails mean, and how does it all work?
All right. Well, let me give a label to the dots. They have a very nice label, a very long label. They're called tactile ground surface indicators, otherwise known as TGSIs, or as one of my colleagues calls them, TIGSIs.
Cute.
Now, along with handrails and other things, accessibility is there to help people with a disability be able to move around a bit better. So at the front door of a building either should either be level, or if the topography, so the surrounding terrain, is such that it's on a hill and there are steps, there should also be a ramp. Now, I say these things, there are requirements for making new buildings accessible. So any new building should be built to what's called the Building Code or the National Construction Code of Australia. So it references back to the DDA, the Disability Discrimination Act, the Premises Standards and the Australian Standards. So they're all working together. They're different but working together. So this is applied to new building work. It's applied to buildings where work is being done that requires a DA or a development application. So if somebody is saying, oh, but there's that shop down the road and it's not accessible, it may not need to be accessible right at the moment. But if it is altered in any way at that point, then the building code and the other things take precedence. That doesn't mean that somebody with a disability can't make a complaint and say, I need to get into that building for my work or for a service or something, and so therefore it should be modified to allow me to enter that building.
We actually had an interesting incident. I'll just tell the listeners, just to illustrate how that works. In this very building where our studio, we had an access door that wasn't really very good to accommodate wheelchairs, and they changed it. It is now, as you know, a glass sliding door, and it's enormous and very accessible and for every kind of vehicle, really.
Yes, it's those sorts of things. Now, it will cost the building owner money. In some cases, it costs a substantial amount. But the benefit to the building users, you can't put a cost on that.
And we will continue this interesting conversation between Jane Bryce, Principal of Visionary Access Consulting, and 2RPH Manager Nikki Lindemann in the next edition of AbleQuest. In that segment, Jane continues the discussion about the legal requirements for accessibility in both new and established buildings. She emphasises that the goal is to make things inclusive for all, and not to create access solutions that treat people with disabilities as a segregated group. In the meantime, if you wish to find out more about what an access consultant does, or locate one who offers the specific services you need, visit the association website www.access.asn.au. You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology and initiatives. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening, and goodbye till next program.